Welcome to the Promises of the Constitution podcast.
Hello, this is Pamela Romney Openshaw coming to you today to talk to you again about the Constitution, the most exciting topic that I know. I want to talk to you today a little bit about how we change the Constitution, what's involved in the overall structure, how do we make it different. And at the same time, we want to talk a little bit about impeachment because that's how we change the individuals that are in office in the Constitution. So these powers that are built into the Constitution to both change it through the amendment process and also to change it through removing officers who perhaps have not been doing what they should do through the impeachment process is the system that gives us a government that's agreeable, that's workable to the people, that allows the people to constantly be involved and allows them to make changes. Because ask yourself the question, how do you change a system of government? Many systems that have been implemented throughout the history of the world don't provide any means of changing what's going on. And if you have that, then the only real means you have of changing government is to either assassinate the individuals involved or to have a revolution. And that's not what we were after in the United States of America. We were looking for a peaceful way to change things. And so these two processes allow us to do that. The impeachment process allows us to get rid of leaders in an orderly way. This is mentioned in Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution, and it allows us to call individuals before, let's take the president, for example. The House makes the decision to impeach, and the Senate conducts the impeachment process, and we can eliminate a person from office. And that's a very beneficial thing. Another process, of course, that we have is the amendments that can be made to the Constitution. These amendments, the entire process was designed to be a means for minor change in the Constitution. It was not ever intended that it be a process that would completely upend the Constitution or that would destroy the processes of the Constitution. We were simply giving the ability to adapt to the times or to perhaps correct things that had been improperly structured in the beginning or that time required us to change. It was never intended that major actions be changed through the amendment process, but unfortunately, we've done that. And there are a lot of major changes that are taking place in the Constitution now through the amendment process. And so we are literally destroying and changing our entire structure of government through the amendment process. I want to take you through these amendments and let you see what they are, because the amendments are a critical part of the Constitution. In fact, they are a part of the Constitution. So the first 10 amendments all come under the Bill of Rights, which was a very essential process because when the Founding Fathers came to the point where they were ready to sign this document called the United States Constitution, there were several who stood up and said, hey, everything we wanted to be in this document isn't there. And the rest of them said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? We've been here for 4 months. Why haven't you said anything about this sooner? And yet there were three individuals that specifically chose to not put their signatures on the Constitution. And all of them had this same objection. They thought that there needed to be a Bill of Rights included in the Constitution. Well, the Founding Fathers were sending this document to the states, and it was to be ratified in each one of the 13 individual states. And so the document going out needed to be as full and as complete as possible. And so many of the founders were dumbfounded over what was happening over this, that all of a sudden they had individuals stepping forward and saying, hey, this isn't going to work. And so the three individuals that were protesting, what they did not realize is that the rights were built into the Constitution. Every right they wanted to include in the Bill of Rights and in any further documents, all these rights were included in the Constitution. When you create this document, unless you specifically state that a document does not have certain powers, it is a natural part of the process that those powers will be included. So the powers were all there. It's just that these individuals were choosing to not see that. We have coming forward then in the Bill of Rights, which was passed in the very first act of this new government, this new legislative session, the first year that we were in existence. We were, of course, given the Bill of Rights, which gave us freedom of religion, of speech, of privacy, freedom in our legal processes and in the courts in many different ways. We were given freedom to our particular property. And then the last two amendments stated, hey, if we've forgotten anything, the fact that we've forgotten to mention it doesn't mean that we didn't care about it. Those things still matter in the topics of the Constitution. And also, any decisions that needed to be made would be made by the individuals or by the people themselves and by the individual states, reaffirming there in the Constitution that it is the people and the states who have so much power in the Constitution. There were some real fears among members of the legislative processes and those in the Constitutional Convention about creating a Bill of Rights, because there's this problem. You see, if you're acknowledging all the individuals that are involved in the creation of something, what if you leave one of them out? Or what if there was something that should have been included that you hadn't realized at that point in time, and so it's not going to be until later that you begin to realize it? And so there's just this problem that comes up when you start naming, oh, this person helped, or this right is there, this right is there, this right is there, maybe not this right. And so the founders were trying to avoid the direct challenges that would come from leaving something out. And also, you have this process. If you start mentioning the specific rights that people are entitled to, just your very mention of that thing gives your enemies something to come and attack you over. They could take what you specifically said about that one entity, and they could twist it or tangle it or blow it up or shrink it down and turn it into something that it was never intended to be. So the founders kind of wanted, most of them at the Constitutional Convention, wanted to walk away from this process and avoid the whole mess. But these three founders and others out there who spoke up later were not willing to see it that way. This is a really good example of what happens when you bring individual parties together to try and create a system of government or to create anything. You have all these individual ideas of what should be and what shouldn't be, and you bring them all in and you put them all together, you twist them and you work them, and things just don't always turn out exactly the way that you planned they would do. So those, then, are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. But I want us to go ahead and take a look at the other amendments to the Constitution. The first two that were made were really quite minor. The first one corrected a judicial error that inadvertently the Constitution had allowed that an individual could challenge and sue a state. And that just wasn't a workable deal. That would have tied the courts up for decades and forever. And so they came in and changed that. And then the 12th Amendment corrected the process that the founders had established, where votes would be cast for individuals who were running for president of the United States, and the person with the most votes would be the president, and the second most votes would be the vice president. That easily didn't work. And after a couple of elections, the founders saw that it wasn't going to work. So they stepped in and they said, okay, this is not going to work. We need to change that. Then you start into the remainder of the amendments, and you start getting into some really interesting things, because there are many of the amendments that were drafted to the Constitution that have substantially weakened it. In fact, that have added to and directly contributed to changing our system of government. So I want us to go into those a little bit. There were three amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, that addressed the concept of slavery. Now, the principle of slavery was established in Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, and it provided that for a 20-year period of time, Congress wasn't going to do anything to mess with the slavery problem. This would be a 20-year period of time to allow the entity known as the United States of America to prepare to take the steps necessary to abolish slavery. But when it came time, 1808, to make those changes in the Constitution, the individuals that were involved in Congress at the time did not take the steps that were necessary. That left us in a process where 50, 60 years later, we had to go to war as a nation and almost tear ourselves in two trying to correct that problem. So the 13th Amendment said there will be no slavery in the United States of America, and Amendment 14 said, was intended to eliminate unfair laws that were denigrating the blacks, and there definitely was a lot of that going on. The southern states were not being good to the blacks. They were, in fact, trying to perpetuate slavery, even though there'd been an amendment passed that was supposed to have abolished slavery. And so the federal government took action against those states. It's a very vindictive amendment, the 14th is. It's the one most challenged in the courts throughout the entire history of the United States. It's the one that's now being used to grant benefits to the children of illegal immigrants that are born in the United States. It's just a poorly written, poorly enforced, and very altered amendment through the court process. And so it hasn't worked. The 14th Amendment's not a good amendment at all. And then the 15th Amendment gave the slaves the right to vote. Now, I'm going to take some issue with that 15th Amendment, the federal government giving slaves the right to vote, because none of us would, certainly I wouldn't have, and virtually everyone we know in the United States today would never want to take away the right to vote. To take that right away from the blacks. But you see, there was a real problem with that. The right of determining who would vote within the states was a state matter. It was not a federal matter. The federal government was not supposed to be involved in that process at all. And so while you have a good thing happening with that process, it's happening through the wrong procedure. We want the states to give the right to blacks to vote, not the federal government to do so. And as we go through and look at the rest of the amendments, we're going to see that over and over again, that the federal government stepped in and took rights away from the states, strengthening itself and taking away the power of the states to protect their individual citizens from the overreach of the federal government. So we then move to Amendment number 16, which put income tax in place. This was a terrible amendment. The Constitution very clearly mandated that there was to be no individual income tax waged. The entire concept of an income tax is unfair. It denigrates the process of equality all through the Constitution. And so many of our rights to protect ourselves were violated by the 16th Amendment when we gave to the federal government the right to step in and take away our income from us, whether we wanted to give it or whether we didn't. Definitely a terrible thing that happened in the United States. There are other ways to get things done in a nation without stepping in and usurping the rights of your individuals. Then we have the 17th Amendment, which of all the amendments ever passed, this is the one that has been most damaging to the United States. Because under the original Constitution, you have the House of Representatives representing the people, and you have the Senate representing the states. What happened in the 17th Amendment was they took away the right of the states to select their own senators and gave that right to the people instead. So now we have both houses of Congress representing the people and none of them representing the states. Therefore, the states lost their ability to hold the federal government back and preserve the rights of individuals. If ever we were to rescind another amendment, it would certainly be the 17th that we would want to get rid of. We had two of our amendments that dealt with the topic of prohibition, where the federal government stepped in and took control of what was going on with alcohol. This was not a federal entity at all. The 18th Amendment imposed federal control. The 21st Amendment is the only amendment we have that withdrew that, changed it, put everything back the way it was before the 18th Amendment. It was when the federal government stepped in and took control that the bootlegging industry in the United States of America first began. And so this kind of established a serious precedent for the federal government to get involved where it wasn't supposed to get involved. We have several amendments involved in the voting process, and every one of them is or should have been unconstitutional because the federal government did not have the right to control the voting process anyplace. This is one of the ways the states stood strong. This was one of the ways they kept the federal government out of their business. And so, of course, we mentioned the 15th Amendment earlier, but the 19th Amendment introduced the concept of women voting, introduced the gender issue. The 24th Amendment stated that there could be no poll tax imposed by the states. The 16th Amendment changed the voting age from 21 to age 18. There was a lot of political trickery going on right there. Again, all of those amendments strengthened the federal government and helped create an oppressive entity that is taking away our rights and freedoms today. A lot of the amendments, or at least several of the amendments, deal with the election process with individuals. For instance, the 20th Amendment gets involved in when we assemble, and it tells us what to do when nobody qualifies as president or vice president. What do we do about that? And puts that in the process of the legislature. The 22nd Amendment also gets involved with the election of the president and states that he can only run for 2 terms. A lot of people think that this was a really good idea, and it is, until you get a president that's really, really good and you'd like to keep him longer, and then this amendment ties our hands. The 25th Amendment tells us how we can remove a president, whether willingly or unwillingly, we're going to remove that president. And the 27th Amendment establishes that the members of our federal legislative body cannot put a salary change into process that will take place any sooner than the next election cycle. So the legislature can vote it in, but it doesn't take place until they've had a chance to be replaced at the polls in another election. And finally, the 23rd Amendment federalized a city. This is where the federal, where we as a as an elective body delegated representation to the District of Columbia to allow those individuals to vote as an individual entity. This has not come up as a challenge yet, but it could certainly in the future. When you take one entity that is not supposed to be treated as a state and begin to treat it as a state, then in the future we could certainly have cities that begin to do that same kind of thing. The desire, of course, was to give them a vote, but that could have been done in other ways. Those individuals could have been attached to other states and been allowed to vote in those states. There are other ways that could have taken place. So as you take a look at all these amendments, you see lots of problems here. We didn't stick to the original Constitution, didn't stick to our intent. I discuss the entire amending process in one full section of my book, which is Section 11 in Promises of the Constitution. Please go to my website, promisesoftheconstitution.com, take a look at the book, order it from us. We would love to send it to you, but it'll give you lots and lots of information about the amendments. There's also information scheduled through the rest of the book that I think you'll enjoy listening to as well. I hope you've enjoyed this information. Take a little bit of time. Go to your Constitution, which is also found in the back of my book, Promises of the Constitution, and take a serious look at those amendments. In the meantime, have a good day. See you again soon.
To have Pamela speak to your civic or church group, please call 801-373-0240. Or email openshawenterprises@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Promises of the Constitution podcast. Be sure to go to Pam's website, promisesofthe constitution.com, to purchase her books, DVDs, and her online educational courses available to watch on any electronic device.